Karen Castillo, his wife, is going to come give us a message, and she's a missionary wife. We thank the Lord for her. Karen, why don't you come and tell us what the Lord has on your heart?
John told me, make sure you don't go any longer than me. I don't think there's a chance of that. I guess he wanted to make sure. Well, we've been, like you said, we've been in Morelia for about 7 months, and it's been a real blessing. It's a huge city. Just driving into it, it's just awesome how it's spread out and so many people, and just the thought of trying to reach these people. But the guys are going colonia by colonia, which is neighborhoods, and they're preaching, and we just thank the Lord for what he's doing there. And we don't have a huge crowd right now, but the Lord's blessed us. We have a lot of young people. We have about 5 or 6 that have been real faithful to the young people's meetings that John and I have at our house. And it's been a real blessing. We did the same thing in Irapuato, working with the young people. can't breathe right now. And the young people there in Irapuato were a younger age group, like a 13, 14-year-old. And so these the young people here in Morelia are more college students in that age group. So it's just a little bit different, the perspective that John gives messages on, and they come up with a lot of tough questions because they're thinking about marriage and long-term plans, and so it's real interesting, and it's real challenging sometimes. They really make you think about a lot of things, and like I said, ask questions that, I mean, for me to be giving advice on marriage or dating or something like that, it makes me feel old or something. I feel like I don't have much experience in marriage or a child raising or anything, but the Lord has really been blessing us, really helped us out, encouraging us with these people, with the young people there. One thing that is involved when you have meetings every week at your home is actually opening up your home and, you know, 2, 3, sometimes 4 hours of your time that you want to be doing something else is spent there ministering and just having these meetings. And I found myself a lot complaining or worried about the house, you know, that it's about time for everybody to show up and, you know, Lauren spills things everywhere or it's just a mess. And I find myself in that state of being cumbered about with many things. Worried or stressed out, I guess you'd say. And, you know, I guess you'd say that I'm a pretty uptight person in that way. And the Lord gave me like the most laid back, easygoing man I think that's ever lived. Because I'll say something like that to him, you know, oh, you know, they're going to be here in 5 minutes and this and that. And he's like, who cares? You know, that's just sit down. It doesn't matter, you know. So it's been a blessing, and the Lord's really working on me in that area of hospitality and just serving and not worrying about these things that really don't matter. They're not coming to look at the floor and see if it's spotless or if, you know, there's crumbs on the carpet. They're coming to get a blessing, to learn more about the Word. In Romans chapter 12, I wanted to share a few verses that this chapter has just been, I've just been getting fed from this chapter for a while now. There's so much in it, but I wanted to just share a few things on this thing about serving, serving the Lord in whatever way that it is. But I just wanted to apply it to this hospitality thing with, which is a thing that sometimes is hard for me. I guess with women, we think more on these things about, well, I have to make a coffee, I have to, and, you know, time's running out and this and that. And we do get, or I do get cumbered about, and my focus isn't on, man, I'm just so excited to see who shows up and who wants to learn today and what are we going to talk about today. And I'm more concerned about other things that are really not important. In chapter 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And jumping down to verse 10, I'm talking about these gifts and how we minister. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You know, verse 10, it talks about preferring one another. And this has been really sticking with me for a couple months. Preferring to minister to these young people more than fulfilling my plans or worrying about the house, you know, getting cleaned or boy, you know, this is what I really wanted to do, but these young people showed up and they want, you know, some advice, you know, I need to be preferring instead the needs of Amen. The saints. And these young people are saints. They're saved. They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for, wisdom, knowledge in the Word of God. In verse 13, it also says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Again, they do have many needs. A lot of times, they just want somebody to listen to them. They have maybe parents or family members who aren't saved, and they can't get that perspective that they need on, look, I've got this problem at work, or my boyfriend, or, you know, this guy wants to date me, but he's not saved, you know. And if I find myself just, you know, thinking about, well, is there enough coffee? Am I going to have, you know, this or that? And they're asking me things, you know, that's not what the Lord wants. It says here he wants us to minister, to distribute. And it says given to hospitality. And I think of that as being wholeheartedly into it. Like I said, not just, you know, saying, oh, you know, come on in, here's the coffee. You know, have a seat. Oh, what was that? You having a problem? Oh, yeah. All right, just a minute. Let me get the baby and this and that, you know. I think being given to something is a real strong word. It's like that's where your focus is. You're totally into it. You're totally listening to them. And what a shame it would be if I was cumbered about with something else and some young girl or whatever was truly needing my guidance that day. And I was just half-heartedly into it. So that really touched me, that verse there. Also in verse 11, jumping up, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Talking about our attitude, my attitude in serving, whether it be serving my husband, serving as far as ministering to the young people or giving a guitar lesson or whatever. The attitude is so important, and Amen. All my life I've been struggling with this. My father, ever since I was young, has told me, you know, you need to work on your attitude. It's always been a real struggle. It's always been something that the Lord has to constantly be bringing before me because, you know, the attitude makes such a difference while you're serving, while you're in, you know, ministering or whatever it be. And, you know, when you go into a restaurant or a stop and go or whatever, and, you know, they say, yeah, can I help you? You know what I mean? It's just, you can just see the difference. Someone serving you with, hey, you know, what can I get for you today? Or, you know, yeah, what do you want? You know what I mean? And, you know, when you go into a restaurant or a store like that, you're like, man, you can tell that guy doesn't like his job, you know? But I think the same thing is true with serving the Lord, and whether it be, you know, serving coffee to the young people or preaching in the streets, whatever, that attitude makes a big difference, that it's something that God wants is gladness or joyfulness in our spirit while we're serving. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy and verse 47, this chapter is dealing with the Lord laying out his promises for blessings if his children obey him, and curses for not obeying. And in verse 47, he's dealing with some of these curses, and one of the reasons or one of the causes for them not obeying or not serving him says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And that just really struck me that, you know, I mean, okay, yeah, to make a promise to the Lord and say, I'm going to serve you, you know, and to do it. But I think the Lord really wants it to be done with joyfulness of heart, gladness of heart. It says in Psalms 100, serve the Lord with gladness.
Amen.
And this has just been really sticking out to me because of, well, Romans chapter 12 and just with the attitude that I know that the Lord wants me to have. And it makes a big difference, not only what the others see, what the people that are around you that you're ministering to, but it makes a difference in your own heart. You can really enjoy it more. You can really just kind of be easygoing and, well, who cares? You know, that's not what I'm here for. And it doesn't matter what the floor looks like or what time it is, you know, and you know, we've been here 2 hours in the park talking to some guy, you know, and I'm there, you know, like, man, when are we going to go home? And John can talk to somebody for 3 hours, and to him it feels like 3 minutes, you know. And I want that. I want that attitude of, you know, that's a joy. It's a joy to minister, to talk, to witness whatever it is, and not be cumbered about with these things. Amen. that really are not profitable to the work. It says in the Bible also that God loves a cheerful giver. And I think that that also can pertain to giving of your time, how it talks about being given to hospitality. That when you're giving of yourself, whether your time, your money, your efforts, that God really loves it if you can be cheerful while you're doing it. And that's just been really on my heart. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul here is saying that in verse 24 he says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And it just, you know, struck me that his desire was to finish his course, but not just finish. Okay, I just want to get done. But he says with joy. And I truly want that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, well, the house is clean. The young people came in and you know, there wasn't mess on the carpet or this and that, you know, and you know, I feel good because I was, you know, I got everything done that I was in my plan. You know, I'd rather finish my course and say, you know, I serve the Lord. I did it with joy and I'm pleased with that. And I want the Lord to be pleased. And then in Psalms chapter 89, the last verse I want to read, chapter 89, verse 15, it says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." It just stuck out to me that joyful sound. We're blessed because we know the joyful sound, just like the song says. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. Amen. That's the sound that we've heard when we got saved. That's a sound that we're trying to proclaim to these people, and it's a joyful sound. So there is no cause not to be joyful in serving or ministering. We've heard the joyful sound. This is our message. This is what we want to get to these people, and I want to give it in joyfulness. I want to serve in joyfulness. I want to have that gladness of heart in serving.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.